Well, I hate to pile on, but that's not going to stop me, because this is the news, according to me. Good morning. It is Wednesday morning, 7:33 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yeah, what is this now? August? August. Holy wow. August 17th, 2022. I'm still in Atlanta. It looks like I'll be getting home this evening at this point. And hopefully, maybe a little bit earlier than what was originally thought. I am, I guess, like I said yesterday on last night's show, or yesterday's show, I planned on having a little bit more report on what was going to happen. And what we suspected was going to happen did happen. There was not some kind of massive shift wave from the Democrat parties, Democrat voters, shifting over to Republicans to vote that this it was a landslide shellacking. Literally, it was, but you know, I'm just running all this through my head in terms of what has been said, speeches that came out. What amazed me, and that no one last night mentioned as the results were coming in from all the elections, is that the Nobody, not one person even mentioned what was in my cup. And this morning I have sweet tea. It's actually leftover sweet tea from yesterday. There's a little pizza place here they actually spin the dough just prior to putting it in the oven. It's a fire, you know, of course, it's a fire oven, actual fire oven type thing. It's pretty good, pizza. It's not very expensive, and it's of course it's not that. I mean, the dough is good. The crust is good. Everything else is a little skimpy, I guess. But it's not bad for the price. It's not bad in this area. So that's what I had, and so of course they have sweet tea there. So I piled on that. Speaking of piling on, I'm going to talk about her. Everybody knows who I'm talking about. In Wyoming, Liz Cheney got beat into the ground. And of course she came out with this speech afterwards, and she has this look on her face. It's an incredulous look that I absolutely cannot stand. And then when she goes to actually speak, she has this droning kind of what she tries to portray, that she has this thoughtful, righteous indignation, this core centrality of whatever. And she has the audacity in her speech to imply, you know, because Abraham Lincoln lost, and then he came back and he was one of our greatest presidents. So she thinks that, well, because she lost a Senate race, that now she can come back and be president, because after all, Abraham Lincoln did it. Now, there's a few problems here, and this is Liz. You don't understand. Liz is, or she doesn't understand. I'm talking to Liz right now, as well as Adam Kinzinger. These are people who have been stroked, petted, patted on the head, told you should run for president. Oh, you're the prime example of the way of the moral, the way the Republicans should be. You're the best example of a Republican. People need to support you if they just knew. I think there are Democrats who would vote for you. Same thing with Adam Kinzinger. He gets asked on, invited on. He has an open invitation to step on to MSNBC or CNN. Loves the attention. Constantly being patted on the back by those people. It is the most disgusting and filthy thing. You know, they find someone who is weak in their understanding, or they need to have those kinds of accolades, that kind of attention to feel valid. Unfortunately, you know, Liz has been in this bubble so closely interacting with this left-wing deception. she's believed it. She believes the whole thing. She believes the lie. She believes, you know, I think the big lie right now is what she's telling. She knows better. This whole January 6th thing, everybody knows. Everybody sees it's a one-sided, slanted, political witch hunt. It's not even a witch hunt. It's just a kangaroo court. They bring in four police, Capitol police officers. One of them, they're anti-Trumpers. The one has become so popular. He sits down there in the front row of every thing that they have. It's political theater. That way he's on camera. That way he'll sit next to Sean Penn. Oh, look, Sean Penn sitting next to the Capitol police officer. Those guys who held the line. They held the line. You guys did it. According to Adam Kinzinger. And then you have all this stuff going on around the perimeter of everything that's happening. It amazes me, this made-for-TV kangaroo court thing, and it got no traction. So in the process of all of this happening, they have to have... They have to make the momentum of this situation, they have to make it look like the walls are closing in. So in the process of all this, guess what happens? Oh, we're going to raid the home of a former president. Of the one who's the monster. I have some independents in my family. I call them independents. They don't realize that they're actually left-leaning, but they would probably be defined as independents by the normal voting structure. They're not hardcore Democrats. I mean, they're not left-wing leftists. But they do have a tendency to go a little bit more left. Now, they're gun owners. They don't like the Second Amendment intrusion that happens. However, they are not what I would call right-leaning, or that they are not Trump supporters by any means. They're kind of on the fence with Trump, I think. They don't like him, basically. They're believing all the junk. However, they also see the ridiculousness of what's happening with Trump as well at the same time. So it's, I would consider them independents. They're left-leaning independents, however. That's how I'd look at it. Now they are talking like, well, you know, if he's probably got something there that he's trying to hide. For some reason, he's trying to hide something there. He's probably got something. Okay. Well, what exactly? I mean, the man was president. This is kind of like this whole thing of when they check an airline pilot. And this, back when I was an airline, I was an airline pilot during the 2001 incident, the attack on our nation, the actual attack on our nation that happened. Actually, people died that day. Civilians died. The first people who died were flight crew, by the way. And I remember after that how the TSA that was put in place cracked down on flight crew. And the argument that popped up, and there were some, as pilots were going through security to get to work or to get to, you know, whatever they were doing, they were, you know, things were being taken out of their bag that they had to have for, they couldn't take toothpaste for four, they lived on the road for 4 days. They had to take, you know, toothpaste and all the stuff that we had to have at that time. Couldn't have it. They were taking things out of our bag. And the argument, you know, sometimes people would get in arguments with the TSA. They get in arguments with airport security. The TSA didn't start until after 9/11. So it was, I call it TSA. What we know of now is TSA. The arguments were that, well, I already have control of the airplane. And there's a crash axe on the flight deck. I mean, if you're trying to stop someone from getting control of the airplane, too bad, I'm already there. I'm already in the seat. I already have control of the airplane. Why are you taking away the file from my nail clippers? That's not going to assist me in getting control of the airplane. Cokie Roberts, when they were talking about arming pilots, said, I don't want some crazy pilot coming back in the back and starting to shoot everybody. If your intent is to kill everybody on the plane, the gun isn't your best weapon there. It's, you know, if you're that crazy. Just saying. The ridiculousness of this. They finally kind of got some of this worked out. Of course, then they started arming pilots through, ironically, the FAA just a few months prior to 9/11 stopped the FAA official arming pilots permit to carry program, which was started, I believe, in the 70s. Could have been the 60s, 70s. And so then now, they have to have a federal flight deck officer program. It's a completely different program, and it's not the FAA's program. It's a separate program that they had to put into place. The pilots had to volunteer for, and they get trained, and they can carry all that stuff. So now we have a federal flight deck officer program where there's a number of pilots that are armed. Basically, any pilot who wants to apply and be a part of it can go through the training. Now, having said that, I'm going way off on a tangent here, but we get back to the whole thing about January 6th. The ridiculousness of the January 6th commission and this thing about making Trump look bad. He's already got control of the country. He stole the nuclear codes. Okay, this is the president who didn't start any new wars. This is the president who we were told before he was elected that he was going to get us into a nuclear war. He was going to. This is the president who actually had relations with, built up a relationship with North Korea. The missile firing stopped. Now they're firing missiles again. They're testing missiles. It's this ridiculous idea that Trump was some kind of warmonger. That he was crazy. He was, he was unhinged, and he was he's a temper tantrum throwing, guy. Throws his food up against the wall. This is the portrayal that they would have us to believe, so that when they do this raid, and I actually believe that I think some of the people in the DOJ and the AG and everybody else that's there, I think they've lived in such a bubble for so long that they're starting to believe this stuff as well. And I guess Merrick Garland was actually surprised at the pushback that they received from the raid on Mar-a-Lago. He was surprised at it. It surprises me that he was surprised. But that's the bubble this guy's living in. He just thinks, everybody thinks Donald Trump is a monster. Everybody in his world thinks that. This bubble that he lives in. And it amazes me that this is... Now, the Democrats, after the primary last night, they see 8 out of 10 Trump-endorsed candidates won the primary last night. Liz, for one, got trounced on. Believes now that she's going to come back and run for president, I guess, in 2024. There was a large number of people actually that registered as Republicans to vote in the primary. They were Democrats that registered as Republicans to vote in the primary. There was a big push by CNN and MSNBC. MSNBC put out several programs on how to go about how you can change your party affiliation and vote in the Republican primary. So they were out there pushing this for her to get her elected, which tells you something. The individuals that they've called up for as witnesses, for example, you don't see all the Capitol. If all the Capitol police were all upset about this, they would have more than just four of them there. You'd have people clamoring to testify. But they've got these rock stars who are... They just don't, I'm sorry, they don't, really look like police officers to me. I hate to say it. I have lived life in a discipline, I had a career in a discipline that was required to have certain professional standards. And let's just say these guys are not there. And they get a former Trump supporter who comes forward and he says how he felt like he was lied to and the president deceived him and talked him into trying to break into the Capitol. Of course, he comes out there and he's testifying and he's got his denim jacket. He's the typical leftist view of what a Trump supporter is. T-shirt, little denim jacket. Got his, surprised he wasn't wearing a MAGA hat, but of course he wouldn't be wearing that because now he's not a Trump supporter anymore. So he wasn't wearing his MAGA. But everything else, everything stereotypically was the truck driving flag, Trump flag, truck driving four wheel drive guy. That's the way they touted this guy out there. Because that's their stereotypical look of a Trump supporter, a MAGA country guy. And it's pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic what they go through. So Liz Cheney, because she's on this moral, she has the moral high ground. She needs to continue to tell the country that Trump is a monster, that he incited an armed group of mobsters to go down to the Capitol building and attack the building and overthrow the election. He incited the riot. He incited them all to do it. That's the narrative, and that's what she's going to continue to play out. And of course, now you're going to see in the days ahead, now that they have figured out that their plan C or plan D or whatever plan they're on now has not worked, they're up against a massive onslaught in November. Their level of desperation now is going to go up. It is going to intensify. The lies about what happened at Mar-a-Lago have increased and are getting more intense. They're squirming now with, no, they didn't take any, they didn't take his passports. Oh, by the way, here's your passports back. Oh, he's lying about this and he's lying about everything. No, that's not what's happening. There's a lot of theories. Mr. Reagan, the channel Mr. Reagan, Chris, I can't think of his last name. He had a really good report this morning on the different theories. I think there's like seven different theories or something, major theories about why the FBI raided Trump's home. And I believe that there's kind of a combination of things. And I think that it started off as one major reason why they did the raid. However, I think as time has gone on, they've tried to kind of pivot and shift in their reasoning or why they did it. Now, there is one theory that they have information out there that like I was saying, they're paranoid because they've done some things and they might think that Trump actually has the dirt that will get some people in trouble. It's very, very possible. This is a very possible idea that they needed to collect this stuff, thinking that maybe he's got that stuff. We better probably should go over there and see what all he's got. Because if he's got this stuff, he's going to pull it out and he's going to, you know, it's... So they maybe wanted to collect this data because they realize that there's some evidence missing, some archives missing, whatever it is, this information that's missing that could incriminate them. Now, whether it's Hillary behind the scenes pulling, she's done this before. The FBI has been known to be in the tank for her. If you don't believe that, just look at what James Comey did. Now, I believe James Comey had to come out, announced, yes, we've continued the investigation. We're reopening the investigation to Hillary just so they could close it. Now, this is the way James Comey thinks. Well, we have to do what looks ethical here. So we have to do the ethical thing and open up this. And then we have to say no reasonable prosecutor would take this case, and we're going to close the case. So now we've done our due diligence. We've opened it up and made it look bad. However, then we covered it all up and said, oh, nope, there's nothing to see here. And it's fine. We admitted to everything that happened. However, this is nothing. There's no intent. And it was not, she can still run for president. And we're just going to keep it going. This is back in 2016. All this was going on. And I believe this was the process that in James Comey's mind, much like he didn't want to give his confidential notes that he was had with the president directly to a person in the media, so he gave it to someone else to give to the media. Because in his mind, he's Johnny Ethics. Now, that's what he taught. I believe he was, I don't know whether he's actually a professor or a professor, like an adjunct professor, whatever he was, taught ethics at one of the Ivy League schools. This is the way, you know, he's got a way of working around the ethical, he knows his way through the ethical jungle. He can't just say, well, this, on, you know, on its face, you can't take a step back and just say, well, this is just unethical to do that. No, he's got to find an ethical way to subvert ethics, because he's an ethics professor. He knows all about ethics. This is the way Comey thinks. So that's where we're at with this. And that's, in my opinion, I think that there's something to that theory. However, I think it was just mostly just an optics political theater, making Trump look bad. We've got something on him. We've got to raid his home with guns, because this is the prelude to the perp walk. Now, they will probably come up with something. Oh, look what we found. They're running into a lot of roadblocks and a lot of problems. And of course, the lawyers on MSNBC and CNN are all going nuts. And of course, they all have their theories about what's happening. But once again, folks, I want to thank you for listening to the show this morning. I know it's kind of short. I do have quite a bit to get to this morning, and I've got to try to get it's a big day ahead of me, so I've got to get that all done and head on to home. So once again, appreciate you listening. Appreciate you subscribing, sharing, liking the show, liking the channel, the podcast, and I want to remind you to continue to pray for our nation, pray for our leaders, pray for this next election, and keep each other in our prayers as well, because it's we've got major challenges ahead of us, I think, in terms of bringing this country back together and unifying in any way, shape, or form, because there are people out there who would like to destroy it. God bless. Have a great day. Have a rest of the week as we rapidly approach the weekend. Take care.